Appreciate the choir and Matt and Ferdinand helping us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ on the time we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. We celebrate the birth once a year, but we're to be telling and explaining about the meaning of the birth all of our life. You see, you can't have the birth without the burial, or the cradle without the cross. And so when we celebrate Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're celebrating that God became a man to live a perfect life and then to die an ignominious, sacrificial, substitutionary death. We've talked about those of our fellowship that have gone on the mission field over the holidays, and they really have gone in order to share and explain the message of what we're celebrating as Christmas. And I thought about, really, their mission is our mission. And we may not be in the same place, but really, our mission is to share and explain to the world what Christmas really means. What is the message? We're to do that wherever we are. And I want to share with you this morning a story, a true story, about the story. So let's pray for a minute and we will do that. Lord, we bow before you and we just thank you for the truthfulness of all that's been said in worship and singing. And Lord, how sad that some see the child in the manger and they see no more than a child in the manger. And they don't see as the wise men saw when they said, "Where is he that is born the King of Kings?" Not the one that would become king, but the one that is the king. And Lord, I pray that all of our hearts and our minds and our wills would be touched today to trust you and to live for you, and to be faithful witnesses of the meaning of Christmas. For only those that have truly been born again can really celebrate Christmas. And so, Lord, speak to us this day. We love you in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.
If you would, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 18. I tell you a true Christmas story about the Christmas story. I've entitled this, "Not Just Another Christmas." Not Just Another Christmas. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and verse 14 says, "Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people." 12 years ago, our troops spent Christmas on the outskirts of Baghdad, awaiting the order to attack and liberate Kuwait. Similarly, once again, our troops are stationed on the outskirts of Baghdad. Our country stands on the precipice of war with Saddam Hussein. During Desert Shield and Desert Storm, the media chronicled in a way that had never happened historically. It chronicled the war, and we actually watched much of it as it transpired. But the war we didn't hear about was going on, and it was being waged, and it is the war of the ages. And the consequences were for eternity. It is the war of men's souls. And that war will wage during this war, and I would be willing to offer to you that we will hear nothing about it on television. So I tell you a story about the story. The place was the endless sea of sand in Saudi Arabia. The time was 1990, December. The occasion, Saddam Hussein had invaded Kuwait on August the 2nd, 1990. The Allies established forces to liberate Kuwait, and this became known as Desert Shield. On January the 16th, 1991, the Allied forces invaded Iraq to liberate Kuwait, and that was known as Desert Storm. Christmas Day fell between the establishing of Desert Shield and the launching of Desert Storm. Much like this hour, soldiers spent Christmas there, as they will this year. And even while we're talking this morning, there is an exchange of gunfire going on between Iraq and the Allied forces. Desert Shield, the tents, peppered the sands of Saudi Arabia. There was one tent, Tent 132, which was the home, for a while at least, of Al Sanchez, Ray Angleton, and Sandy Ferguson. Now, they did not really want to be there. Another member of the tent was Bob Burns. They called him Religious Robert, Born Again Bob. Bob believed he was in Saudi Arabia by divine decree. He believed that was his place for evangelism. The other three in the tent found his praise the Lord and Bible reading sometimes hypocritical and at least too convicting. They weren't interested in being evangelized. When they would turn to gambling and war stories, Bob would retreat and take his memory verses and he would memorize his scriptures. The showers had cold water. And so when the soldiers took their showers, you could hear them cursing, echoing across the sand dunes. When Born Again Bob got in the shower and felt the cold water, he just started singing, "There shall be showers of blessing." Ray responded on one occasion. He said, "The only blessing we'll get is if he stuffs that Bible in his mouth and shuts up about this salvation stuff." During Desert Shield, in order to pass the time, they developed a game, and it was called When the Sun Comes Up in the Desert, and then they would add some kind of little jingle that followed with that. Ray said, "When the sun comes up in the desert, it rains in Seattle." Sandy said, "When the sun comes up in the desert and Santa comes to town, he'll need camels, not reindeer, to get around." Concerning the quality of food, Al said one time, "When the sun comes up in the desert, we'll inflict pain. Forget the bombs, we'll drop our eggs on Hussein." Born Again Bob said, "When the sun comes up in the desert, the sun is coming soon." The others almost gave up the game rather than listen to Bob's religious jingles. Christmas was drawing near, and they knew they weren't going home, and so there was kind of a sadness in the air. They reflected on the past Christmases versus the one that they would have. Bob said, "When the sun comes up in the desert to the sound of Christmas hymns, we're all reminded that Jesus died for our sins." Al saw sin as something that the church invoked upon man to keep him doing religious works. And if he did enough of them, often enough, he could go to heaven. Ray said sin was something that God gave us to enjoy. Sandy said life is unfair. We're doomed to sin, and then God gets you. Born Again Bob said sin is the natural result of man's rebellion. And Christ died for that sin. With undying fanaticism, Bob would daily talk to his friends in his tent and tell them to give their life to Jesus Christ and to be saved. December 21st came. There was word of a possible airstrike around Christmas Day. The game, The Sun Comes Up in the Desert, well, it was passing to other tents and becoming rather popular. Ray saw an opportunity to capitalize on that, so he started selling his 10 cents apiece. His latest version said, "When the sun comes up in the desert and the desert coyote cries, I dream of buying a Big Mac with a medium Coke and fries." Ray and Al and Sandy, they continue to make their jingles about turkeys and wars and whatever. Bob said, "When the sun comes up in the desert and casts its glow once again, only Jesus knows if I will be here or with him." Born again, Bob could steal the fun out of any time of frivolity. Well, now the rumors were that there would be an enemy attack, and it would happen on Christmas Day. Chapel attendance was higher than normal, partly because it was Christmas and partly because of the threat of an imminent attack. Even comments about Bob had been tempered. How could one guy be so happy? How could a loving God allow war? And how could Bob know that heaven was real? Were some questions they asked. Ray asked Bob, he said, "Would you read the Christmas story on Christmas Day and pray for peace?" In tent 132 on Christmas Eve, it was very quiet and they were all off duty. One end of the tent, there was a scanty little Christmas tree, kind of scrawny, had a few makeshift decorations and cards on it and a couple of presents. And somewhat out of character, Ray began humming a Christmas carol. And the others joined in, and finally it was silent night. "Hark the herald angels sing, O holy night." And then they began their "When the Sun Comes Up in the Desert." Sandy said, "When the sun comes up in the desert, to the sound of the soldier's shout, we'll find out that Christmas is what life is all about." There was a silence. And then Ray said something spiritual, and Bob was caught off guard. He'd never heard them talk like this. And holding back the tears, he said, "When the sun comes up in the desert and Christmas is in the air, everyone in this room will know God still answers prayer." Well, that was the amen to everything. One by one, they turned over and took a nap. At 4:30, the siren went off. And a voice came over the sound system. "Alert, alert, all pilots from 1291 report to their planes immediately. This is not a drill. Repeat, this is not a drill." And now they were transported immediately from Christmas to war. And Ray and Al rushed over and embraced Bob, who was putting on his flight gear as fast as he could. Al whispered and said, "Hey, guy, don't be late for the turkey. We won't eat without you." Sandy said, "We're going to wait for your devotional till you get back. I don't think any of us could find it, let alone read it." Bob just smiled. Each guy gave him a bear hug as he was heading out the tent, and he got a little ways away, and he heard Ray call him back, "Hey, your scripture packet, don't leave home without it." He came back, had a smile on his face, and retrieved the worn packet. Then he ran to his camouflaged air power. Didn't seem right to the guys at camp to celebrate Christmas Eve while their buddies were flying over Baghdad in the dark of night. The chapel was overly crowded that night as the chaplain read the Christmas story. It was quiet as everyone listened, only to be interrupted by gunfire, sounds that rocked the heavens and sent all the troops fleeing for cover. Bullets were flying and they were aimed at Americans in their planes. bullets flew, piercing the heavens for a moment, and then it was quiet. Too quiet. Finally, the soldiers hurried to their tent. Laying on their bunks, they finally heard the sweet sound of airplanes returning. One by one, they began to land. Finally, over the loud system came the scorecard. 56 American planes left. 56 American planes returned. 18 Iraqi planes shot down. Minimum American casualties. The guys in tent 132 then, relieved, drifted off to sleep, thankful no planes had been lost, and they could now celebrate Christmas Day. When the sun came up in the desert, there was an uncanny kind of calm in the air, for it was Christmas, and no one was scurrying about. Tent 132 was awakened by a messenger who came to tell Ray he was needed in maintenance for routine checks on the planes. He slipped out quietly, not wanting to wake the others, nor Bob, whom he had noted had come in after they had fallen asleep. And then as he turned, he noticed Bob had already gotten up, made his bed, and gone for the early wrap-up of the mission. When Ray arrived at the service pit, he began to survey the damage, and he realized these guys had really been in a skirmish. Two planes had severe engine damage. He said they were lucky to make it back. One had a wing broken almost in two. And there was old Betsy, 1523, Bob's winged wonder. Half the fuselage had been blown off. Ray said to his co-worker, Steve, "Boy, how they survived that one. I bet Bob's got some story to tell." Steve said nothing. Finally, Steve said, "You haven't heard, have you? Bob won't be telling any stories." His plane made it back, but Bob was killed in action. He was nearly blown to bits, and his co-pilot brought it back, himself badly wounded. Ray fell to his knees beside the plane, and he began to weep, and he began to cry out and say, "Why him, God? Why him? He was the only good guy in the camp. Why didn't you take one of us heathens? Why, God?" He raced back to his tent, and he fell on his bunk sobbing, and the others couldn't understand what he was saying, and finally the reality hit them all. Born again, Bob wasn't coming back. Al was angry at God, and he was angry at the war, and enraged, he picked up his pillow and he threw it on the ground. When he did, he noticed something under it, and it was a note. And this is what the note said. "Dear Al, when the sun comes up in the desert this Christmas morning, I may not be there to share it with you. We never know when God may call us home. Somehow, I have a premonition that my time to see Jesus is coming soon. But Al, I'm ready, you see. About 5 years ago, I came to realize all my religion couldn't atone for sin. And a friend showed me how Jesus came to earth on Christmas so there could be an Easter. He came to die so Al Sanchez could live, so Ray Angleton could live, so Sandy Ferguson could live. So I asked him to come into my heart and to be my Savior. I didn't know what to expect. I only knew I needed something in my life. I know you guys get tired of my infernal singing and all, but Al, I just can't help it. Jesus lives in me and He keeps on singing. And if God did call me home, I'm singing like I've never sung before. And Al, if my being called home would get you guys' attention, what a bargain. I get to see Jesus and you get to meet him all at the same time on Christmas Day. My prayer is, Al, that if any of you might come to know Christ by my going home, I would rather die than live. You see, that's the gospel. One man dying so that others might live. By the way, there's a present for each of you under the tree. I love you guys, but God loves you even more. In Jesus' name, Bob. All three found similar notes under their pillows. Bob, sensing danger, was more concerned with their salvation than his own life. Suddenly, things began to make sense. Ray had his answer. Why him, God? He was the only one that was ready. Al had screamed at God, what good could come from this? He now knew. Attached to each note was a small booklet, How to Find Peace with God. Ray put it all together first. He remembered Bob's jingle. When the sun comes up in the desert, it begins to cast its glow once again. Only Jesus knows if I'll be here or with him. One by one, they began to open the presents. Bob had given each of them a Bible. Their names were engraved upon it. He had special ordered it from the States. When they opened the flyleaf, was inscribed John 18:14. It was expedient that one man should die for the people. Well, they knew that one man was Jesus, but somehow to the gang in tent 132, it was also expedient that one man might die, that the others would realize that the price had been paid. Bob's memorial service, the whole base gathered together and began singing Christmas carols. And one by one, soldiers began to share what it meant to them to watch his life. The two that were in the airplane with him when he died shared how that when he was shot, he shouted. He shouted, "Dear God, I'm going to see Jesus at last." And then they heard him begin to pray for each of them. And then one by one, by name, he prayed for the gang in tent 132 until he took his final breath. Finally, three guys from tent 132 stood up before a flag-draped wooden coffin, and they shared what it was like to be born again on Christmas Day. They told how they had rationalized how Bob would be no different in the face of death than anyone else. And then one by one, they told how they knelt down by their bunks that morning, that Christmas morning, and gave their hearts to Christ. "This guy isn't dead," Ray Angleton said. "He's alive in our hearts because it was his life that showed us Christ's life, and that life is in us." They shared the jingle that Bob had made up the very day that he died. "When the sun comes up in the desert and Christmas is in the air, everyone in this room will know God still answers prayer." Ray held his head down and said, "How true, how true." The tears began to flow on the faces of the GIs that Christmas afternoon. And one by one, Ray and Sandy and Al took the booklet, How to Have Peace with God, and they shared it with every soldier who wanted to know. How many were saved that day? Nobody knows but God and probably born again Bob. The memorial that day ended with three unlikely candidates standing to sing the benediction. "When the sun came up in the desert, this magnificent Christmas morn, our hearts were literally torn in two because born again Bob was gone. Gone were the hymns, gone were the smiles, gone were the verses he read. Gone was the hope that showed on his face born again Bob was dead. But Bob didn't die in vain, because through his death we see Christmas is really Christmas today if Jesus is born in me. So the Son came up with a message today. God took away all our sin. Since the Son came up in the desert, we three have been born again. And for three men, Operation Desert Shield became Operation Sunup. Christmas is really Christmas if Jesus is born in me. And that's what the message of Christmas is. And if you've never made that decision to be born again by faith in Jesus Christ, there's no better time than right now. For you and I that know Him, don't let the scorn and the jokes and the ridicule, don't let that stop us. It doesn't matter what they say about us in this life. It matters what they have to say about the next life. We're trying to join in with the guys in tent 132. For Christians, when the sun comes up on this Christmas morn, if God were to take you home, how many would say they knew Jesus because of what your life had shown? For those that don't know Christ, when the sun comes up on this Christmas morn, will you still be in your sins? Or will you this day trust in Christ and truly be born again?